Frank Frangie here. Hewn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can really count on Hewn. Call 398-8601, hewnflowers.com.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah! Song could go with a little bit of cowbell, I believe. Turn that up! No more Jalen. No more Jalen. No more Jalen. Jalen Free Radio. Jalen Free Radio. All right, let's get things rolling. Middle of the week. Middle of the month! Here come the Cincinnati Bengals, a desperate team. An opportunity now to get this thing turned around. It's a very interesting football team when you look at the Jaguars. And right now, stop what you're doing and pay attention. Is this going to be 2018 all over again? Or are the Jaguars going to go to Cincinnati, which is a modern-day MASH unit? They are the walking wounded. Do you punch him right in the mouth, get out of there with a W, and then hop on this train to hopefully some consecutive victories? Again, the phrase winnable games are here, right in front of us. I find that extremely interesting. I was crunching numbers today, as I do all the time. When I'm not sitting around thinking about Jalen Ramsey, what I'm doing is that I'm exploring numbers and looking for windows and opportunities and ways that the Jags can win a football game. The one thing that sticks out to me that is absolutely scary, Cincinnati allows 184.5 yards a game on the ground. I mean, this defense is slow and friendly, and they're injured. Think about that for one moment. 184.5. And you can skew numbers, you can cook books. But I would think that in the case of Cincinnati, I mean, teams have had a lot of success this year moving the ball on them, both in the air and on the ground. Yet to give up that amount, knowing that the time of possession is something that Cincinnati is going to do whenever they get the football, they're going to try to move it from point A to point B or from wherever they get it to the end zone as quickly as they possibly can, because for the most part, they've been trailing in the fourth quarter. Those numbers can change a little bit based on that. But I went back and looked at some games. Cincinnati's been in them early on this year. It's not like they've been out of it where teams have been able to get up by 14, 17, 21 points and just hammer the run and the run and the run, you know, from the first quarter on. No, that's not the case at all. Teams have had a ton of success passing the football this year against the Bengals as well. So it's really a bizarre set of circumstances. I mean, the numbers here are staggering. They're 31st in pro football in yards allowed per game. They're 31st in pro football in yards allowed per play. They're 26th in the NFL in points allowed a game at 26.5. I just explained to you, they are absolutely dead last in the NFL in rushing yards. Rushing yards allowed. Okay? They're tied for 29th right now in sacks allowed. Sacks acquired. They've only been able to get 7 in 6 games against the Jaguars offensive line that, you know, has done a better job. At least as of late. I want to say that Gardner Minshew only got hit 3 times in the defeat this past weekend against New Orleans. A third down defense, or make that red zone TD percentage defense. Again, among one of the very last in pro football. Takeaways is actually a pretty decent number. They have six on the year, which is four better than the Jaguars. That's their best defensive number at 24th in the NFL. Jaguars all, by the way, are pathetic. I mean, they're tied for 31st with two, and that number is even a little bit misleading. As we know, one of those came on special teams. So they should be dead last in pro football as far as takeaways this year. All right, what I'm getting at is games are not won by looking at numbers. Games are not won by looking at the injury report. But my goodness, is this ever misleading. I don't care which way you look at it, which way you examine it. This really comes out totally favoring the Jacksonville Jaguars. The one issue that I have, and I think it's fair because these are professionals and this is not the NBA. There is a little bit of pride involved. I don't believe that guys tank this early in the season. Contracts are not guaranteed. It's one thing in the NBA when you get to game number 70 or game number 75 that maybe you've been told with a wink-wink or with a handshake that don't win this game. We want to move up in the draft lottery. That's been something that has been echoed for years and years and years. You don't hear that in the NFL because film doesn't lie. And when contracts aren't guaranteed, and even when you see the deals that come in, you have to look directly, not at the years and the money. You have to look at the guaranteed money. Because the Malik Jacksons and the Barry Churches and the Deshaun Gibsons and what, they're all gone. They just come and they go, and they come and they go. And after this year, you could be saying the same thing about Marcell Dareus, and you could be saying the same thing about A.J. Boye, and you could be saying the same thing about Calais Campbell or Brandon Linder or Andrew Norwell. It goes on and on and on. These contracts are not guaranteed. So I don't believe Cincinnati's just going to roll over. Not in week seven. It's too long of a year. Losing is miserable. There's nothing worse for these guys. I can't tell you what the difference is like traveling with a football team, as I have been lucky enough to do, that wins compared to traveling with a football team that loses. And what have the Jaguars done now? What are they, like 4-14 in their last 18? There haven't been a lot of happy locker rooms, happy plane rides, happy what have you after games as of late. Losing sucks. There's no other way to explain it to you. In all the conversations that we have had over the last 3 weeks about business, about money, about getting the bag, that's what hurts most for me about Jalen, is I always thought that winning was incredibly important to him and that he wouldn't give up on his now former teammates the way that he apparently did. Still waiting to get official word out of L.A. today to see if Jalen did practice. I saw him on Instagram. His flight made it in, so maybe he just got the day off today, but still haven't seen an official injury report coming from the Rams. That'll add a little extra spice to it. Don't you kind of want to see him play now? I mean, don't you want the complete break? Instead of a fracture or something, I mean, don't you want just the complete break? And isn't that like the best thing for this entire situation is to find out that Jalen's playing this weekend in Atlanta? I mean, let's have it here. You know, I mean, you can't be kind of pregnant. It's one or the other. Give it to me all. Give it to me straight. And let me know right now that Jalen's going to be out there playing against the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe it creates just a little bit extra motivation. The Jaguars really struggle in October. 2018, the Jaguars were 3-1 in the month of September. And everything around here was feeling good, despite some early injuries. And then what happened? Seven straight losses, including a loss each and every Sunday during the month of October. I do not believe they have had a winning month of October going all the way back to 2010. So you're going back to Jack Del Rio. You're going through Mike Mularkey. You're going through Gus Bradley. And now you're into Doug Marrone. There's only two Sundays remaining. I believe, is it two or three? I think there's two Sundays remaining this month. Let me check that out for you. I happen to have it right here. Today is the 16th. It'll be the 19th and the 26th. So the best you can do is even it up at two apiece. I've heard about rookies hitting the wall. I've heard of baseball and, you know, the dog days. Why is this? I mean, I'm all ears on it. As always, I will listen to you and your opinion on the 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010 on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Why does this team struggle in the month of October, regardless of who the head coach is, regardless of who the quarterback is, regardless of who the offensive coordinator is, regardless of anything? They can't win in October. I've never heard of anything so crazy. I mean, I made a big deal 3 weeks ago about how this team had not won in 12 straight attempts going out west. They finally exercised that demon. Went out in Denver for the first time in a while, but they haven't been able to win anywhere out west. Name it. San Francisco, Arizona, San Diego when they were there, Oakland, obviously Denver, anywhere. Couldn't win out west. I thought it was a big problem. Others will say to me, well, how's it a problem? Players change, coaches change. They don't know. They're not aware. All right, whatever. They were 0 for 12 until 3 weeks ago. Explain to me why this team can't win in October. Why they've had a losing record since 2010 in October. Who saw it coming a year ago when they were 3-1 in September? Even in the great 2017, when they went on a tear, went 10-6 and went to an AFC championship game, they still had a losing record in the month of October. I have never heard, unless you're Tennessee and you lose every year to Alabama during the third Saturday of October, I've never heard anything like this in the NFL. This wasn't the case when I was here when the franchise evolved in the mid-90s until I left for Chicago after the AFC championship game in January of 2000. That was never an issue. That's next. Find a way to eliminate this. I don't even know if they're aware of it as a team. I'm trying to make you aware of it as an NFL fan, as a Jaguar fan. I mean, there's just certain things that I don't get. A June swoon in October for the Jaguars? They can't win home or away in the month of October? Are you kidding me? I've never heard of anything so bizarre. Change that this weekend. Cincinnati's hurt. Giving up 185 yards a game on the ground. Go out there and get her done. It's as simple as that. All right, I got a lot to do tonight. We'll be tracking Jalen. I'm going to get into Jalen a little bit. We are. It's still hot. It's still fresh. If you're one of those out there that says, I can't handle any more Jalen, change the topic, well, too bad. I think simply this. I've talked the least Jalen of probably anyone on this station. I thought I was going to get fined a couple of weeks ago when I actually began my show talking about something else outside of Jalen Ramsey. It's still a major story, and it does need to be discussed. And what I want to know from you, now that you've had 24 hours to allow this to settle in, how hurt are you? Think about it for a moment. You don't have to answer me right now. Your initial reaction, because I heard it and I read about it, was screw you, Jalen Ramsey. But now that you've had a day, are you hurt? Are you personally hurt? Because he basically said, you know what to you in this entire city. And I grew up in a tremendous sports town. I grew up in Boston. And I remember how devastated I was as a kid when I had been told that Bobby Orr had left and signed as a free agent with the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, I was sad. Okay? And when Lou Gorman mailed the contract to Carlton Fisk in the outskirts of New Hampshire, and Fisk didn't get it in time. And Pudge said, screw you, Boston, and signed with the Chicago White Sox. And when Fred Lynn was traded to the California Angels in that blockbuster trade, man, I was sad. When Phil Esposito and Ken Hodge was traded for John Rattell and Brad Park, New York Rangers, too, there was, I was sad. I mean, I don't get sad anymore. Later in life, probably after I hit puberty, I began to get mad. When I found out that Wade Boggs was going to the New York Yankees, I was furious. When I was told that one of the idiots, Johnny Damon, was going to the New York Yankees, I was freaking pissed off. When I saw that Roger Clemens was fat and was one game over 500 during the final 4 years of his life in Boston, then went over to Toronto, won consecutive Cy Youngs, then went to the Evil Empire and was dominant and won the World Series. Yes, I was about as mad as I can possibly be. So I went from a child of sadness to a man filled with anger. I want to know what you're feeling tonight. I want to know if you're pissed. I want to know if you're hurt. Jalen Ramsey looked at you. I don't care if you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and make donuts, or if you're someone like me who rolls out at 11 a.m. and enjoys the hell out of their life. Jalen Ramsey laughed in your face, and he said, Jacksonville, you're not good enough for me. I'm gone. I'm going to L.A. I want to know how you feel now that you've had some time to let it settle in. 641-1010, the number. The 1010XL text line is the same. Get me on Twitter. Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jalen on his way to L.A. Apparently, the plane has landed. Jalen in L.A. Jalen, will there be money for you in L.A.?
Was any explanation given to you as why? I mean, they don't have the money now that they've had in years past.
Money's always there, my guy. Money's always there. But like I said, that's all I'll say about it. I'm happy to be here. I want to be a part of the team, but it won't happen this year. I'll just say that.
That's Jalen right now. Drove into town just about an hour ago. Welcome to a real city. And I'm not saying that as a shot to Jacksonville, because I don't look at Jacksonville as a city. Okay, I mean, I walked the beach yesterday. Today, I walked underneath the bridge there on Riverside after visiting with Gardner Minshew, after visiting with the Jaguars. I live in a beautiful suburb. It's not a knock. I've lived in Boston, Chicago, and I don't look at Jacksonville as a city. Okay? I just don't. And again, I'm not ripping it. It's just not to me. Well, welcome to that now, Jalen. It's going to take you 3 hours to get from point A to point B. You think it's rough around here? There's no traffic in Jacksonville. Try driving in Atlanta. Try driving through the Big Dig in Boston. Try driving in Chicago, for crying out loud. You're from L.A. Can you tell the difference? You've got to be. If not, at least lie for the benefit of what I'm saying.
I mean, there's less traffic here comparable to L.A., but there is traffic in Jacksonville, Rick.
Yeah, well, let me rephrase it this way. Everything has changed now since people were driving around with their cell phone.
That's a fact.
When I was in Chicago, there was never any reason for me to be driving around with my cell phone. The traffic was ridiculous. You take 9A, 9B, whatever the hell it is, 295. I have never experienced anything in my life like Jacksonville, Florida, when it comes to trying to merge. I mean, seriously. This is a insane area when it comes to merging. I mean, it is beyond repulsive. I have never seen anything like it. Just brutal. Whatever. I'll leave it at that. There's compared to major cities, there's not traffic here. And that's a good thing. I'm not ripping you. I'm not ripping the city. I love it here. I'm just being honest, for crying out loud. I mean, wait till you get to Los Angeles. It's going to be totally different for Jalen. But anyway, maybe I'm just I'm reaching here. All right, I do want to get to you on this, getting a ton of response on the 1010XL text line. As I would expect, most people are still very upset, you know, basically playing the role of screw you, Jalen. A couple are sad, which I think is rarer and rarer. I think most are angry. I was talking about this today. I mentioned it last night on the airwaves, and I was talking about it today with a couple of folks. I try to say this. I try to explain this to you. I really do listen to what you say. If you take time out to contact me on Twitter or on the text line or whatever, I listen to you. I mean, obviously, I don't always agree with you, but I listen. And I have never seen anything like this in the last, you know, in the 25 years that this operation has been around, that this franchise has been around. And if you remember just how incredibly swiftly this moved, that, you know, after the Houston situation and the one-point loss, there was true division in this fan base for the first time that I can ever remember. And it was a solid, I thought, 50-50 division, where it seemed like the older individuals were all part of Camp Coughlin, and it was, see you later, Jalen. No one is bigger than the team. And then you had the millennials with the Generation Z who were saying, no, get out of here, Tom Coughlin. I support the best player, a generational player in Jalen Ramsey. It was 50-50 after the Houston game. Then it slowly began to take a dive away from Jalen in support of the organization. Well, up until the trade yesterday, especially after this past week where he left the sideline and he did what he did on Instagram, liking that tweet for Cam Jordan, I'm guessing it ended up being 90-95% of every Jaguar fan thinking, that's it, Jalen. Enough is enough. Get out of here. And you're supporting the organization. I have never seen anything like this. Not even close. It was pretty incredible to sit back and watch it evolve. I mean, I think even the most diehard Jalen Ramsey fans had run out of, really, their defense. There was nothing left. If he didn't care, and he was doing whatever it took to get out of here, I think you exhausted what you could do as well. So let's grab some phone calls on this. And, you know, man, I mean, has anyone in this organization, I gave you examples of Boston, has there ever been a guy who's left this organization that it really hurt you? I mean, when Boselli got snatched up by Houston, did it really hurt you? I was in Chicago at the time. I ended up talking with Tony. I never forget that night. Having on my show then. I've always had a great relationship with Tony Boselli. But Tony's days were done. You know, when it was over for Fred Taylor or Maurice Jones-Drew, were you upset about it? Has there ever been a guy who's left here where you've been like, wait a minute, what is going on? You know, especially a guy like Jalen in the prime of his career. Moved, and you can't blame the organization. They had to. Once push came to shove. All right, let's kick it off. Let's go to, let's see here. Ahmad will join us on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Welcome.
Hey, Rick, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm all right, man. This reminds me so much of Shaquille O'Neal when he was in Orlando.
Yeah, I bet.
Shaquille always said he was a whale living in a pond.
Yeah.
And that's what we got going on here. Truth be told, this city just, it needs to step it up. if you're a young millionaire that's 23, 24, where are you going to go at on a Monday night or a Tuesday night in Jacksonville, Florida? That's just the truth of it.
You ever heard of Glenn's Liquors?
Yeah, but yeah, you know, but I mean, I just feel like, you know, he blamed organization, but I just feel like he didn't like the city as a whole. That's why Shad Khan and Lenny Kerr, I think that's why they're trying to hurry up and revitalize downtown and get more entertainment down here, because this is a big city with nothing to do here, and that's what happened. And you're not going to keep your stars here. You're not. Jalen Ramsey is the type of player with the personality he has. He needs to be in New York or L.A. He needs to be among other stars. That's just what it is on that.
Appreciate that. Thank you. You know what? Listen, when I was here in 96, and I was still a young kid, I used to hang with some of the Jag players. I used to go out with them time and again. And it was typically the beach. And I always really enjoyed it. And, you know, when I came back in 2006, I had kids and I was a family man. And obviously I'm older now. I don't look at Jacksonville as a place that's lacking for places to go. But I'm older now. You know, I don't like the crowds the way that I used to. I don't go clubbing. You know, for me, a good time is to go play golf somewhere and spend time in the 19th hole in the lounge. Or go find a barbecue place or, you know, an outside place with some water. Or go to the Blue Crab Crabbles. But I understand what you're saying in the 90s. Now, what did I have? I had Tallahassee. I went from Tallahassee to here. I thought this place was phenomenal. Then all of a sudden I left. I came back and you added places like Tinseltown. I wasn't here in the 90s. And you added the town center. Now you're building out where I live in Durbin. Is that not cool enough for today's players, single players? How about you, RJ? You're from L.A., for crying out loud. Does this place have good places to get out to, or is it lacking for the young 20-year-old as far as nightlife?
I really feel like there's always something you can get into in any city, but I kind of agree with Ahmad that compared to L.A., I mean, you're going to choose L.A. probably 9 times, 10 times out of 10. But I'm kind of like you. A fun night for me is, you know, probably like at the house watching basketball. Like, I'm really not a nightlife guy. But to a guy like Jalen, he may be that.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know the answer. His teammate Blake Bortles never had a problem finding a good time. to each their own. But, you know, I'm real basic. I mean, put me in a hole in the wall with a cigar and some Irish whiskey, and I'm going to have the greatest time of my life. I don't need the ritzy clubs in all of that. Some guys do. You know, I mean, I imagine playing in Miami is pretty freaking spectacular. I imagine playing in New York City is pretty spectacular. Los Angeles as well. If that's what's most important to you. I don't know. Is it? I've told you about stories before, people that I interviewed here regularly who told me they would have gone anywhere. Whether it was here, Green Bay, Buffalo, you name it, it all depended on who was giving them the most amount of money. Money was the king. It's not the quality of the lifestyle. It's not the nightlife. But it's different for everyone. Find that interesting. You know, there are a lot of kids who are young and want to go out. There's also, you know, I would guess, what, maybe 25-30% guys who are married, have families, don't care to go out. So this isn't for everyone, but it certainly is for some, and I'm not trying to dismiss that. Maybe that with the downtown, that'll get better. I don't have an answer for you there. I don't know how many years away that honestly is. All right, when I do return, let's get to more of these calls. Let's see, you guys have been patient on there. Guys like, Daniel and Stacks and Jeff and George. We'll get to all of you. John Osher at 8, Rafael Esparza tonight at 8:40. We'll track the money. See, it's already been a little bit of Cincinnati coin dropped on this game. Open at 3.5, now at 3. How can that be? With all the injuries right now in Cincinnati. Sooner or later, we're going to begin to talk about this game. I'll certainly do some of that with John Osher at 8. You got to get out there, and I know I sound, it's almost like insert broken record right now. Insert it. Got to get out to an early lead here. Jaguars have been trailing in 5 of 6 games. They've been double-digit underdogs in 4 of 6 games. It's okay to score first. That is allowed. You can be the team who scores first. It can happen. And again, I brought it up earlier. Just look at what they have not been able to do in the month of October. It is a staggering number. They have not had a winning record in the month of October since 2010. Folks, that's scary.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, the 7169 just commented on my opinion about the division that I witnessed between old school and Generation Z. His comment simply was, and look how it played out, older people are smarter. Really tough to argue with that point. Although, with all the despair, with all the dislike, with all the anger, he was still the best football player on this team. And he's a generational football player. And he's got a chance to be a Hall of Famer. Did he really set the line in jackassery, replacing Jared Odrick and Chris Clemens? Yeah, he did. But the difference there is that this guy can play. And that's what's disappointing. It is. Your call's 30 seconds away. I did catch up with Gardner Minshew today because I wanted to ask him about the Bengals, and they're absolutely beaten up defensively. This is from Gardner Minshew's press conference earlier this afternoon.
Every team is going through a challenge to learn what you do well and maybe what you don't do well. How hard is it for you now to look at this team that's down, you know, their two starting corners, and, you know, you're probably looking to film at guys with very little experience in this league?
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, we know the scheme that they're going to do. You know, we see film on the coaching staff, and we can do that. And then there's always ways to find tape on guys, and we'll do it. We got a lot of guys working really hard on that. So I feel comfortable being able to prepare for anybody to throw out.
Tony McCray and Torrey McTyer. Those are your corners. Drake Kirkpatrick out. You missed last week. Won't play this week. William Jackson III out. Discussed on Sunday. Confirmed today with a shoulder. Both starting corners gone for the Bengals. One of the worst defenses in the NFL, including dead last against the run. They allow 185 yards a game. This really sets up for the return of Gardner Minshew and really Leonard Fournette to have their way on the road in Cincy. Let's grab a couple of calls. 641-1010. Daniel, you're next up with Rick Ballew. Welcome.
Hey, Rick. How you doing, man? Love the show.
Thank you.
All right, I got just one thing to say. The front office of the Jaguars are probably the smartest people I've ever seen in my life. You got two first-rounders and a fourth-rounder for someone who's going to command, what, $100 million next year, which the Rams can't even pay for. Mm-hmm. And the reason the Rams are losing right now isn't because of their defense, because they don't have anybody protecting Jared Goff. That's got to be the dumbest people on the planet. But go ahead, get what you pay for. And Jalen, I gotta say this for you, buddy. All you wanted was money. Well, good luck paying what, 15% state tax, federal tax, all that stuff. Good luck to you.
All right, appreciate the comment. Jared Goff passed for 78 yards last week. This is a team that I obviously thought would win their division. They won 3 straight out of the gate. All of a sudden, now they've lost 3 straight, and I don't have to tell you, as a Jaguar fan, you are now going to be pulling for each and every team who faces the Los Angeles Rams, because with every loss, it'll improve the draft selection. This week, they visit Atlanta. Next week, the same Bengals that we're going to be talking about tonight and the remainder of the week. John Osher will join me at 8 tonight. We'll certainly talk about the Bengals there. Stacks is next up with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Stacks?
I'm doing well. First and foremost, I'm a Jaguar fan.
Good.
All day. However, you know, I went to school in God's country. I went to Florida State. And I, you know, I used to poke fun at the Gators for former picks like Derek Harvey, right? We got Reggie Nelson,
yeah.
Dante Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
And however, you know, I was proud. I was proud of Telvin Smith and Jalen Ramsey. But here we are in 2019, and I think just the whole thing's a wash. I think this supposed rivalry between Florida State versus Florida Jaguar picks is just, it's garbage. You know, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
I hope the next first round pick is, you know, it's from Caltech or San Jose State.
Yeah, bring back Gene Smith and you can get a guy from the Colorado School of Mines like he did a few years ago.
Yeah. Let's just be professional. Let's get football players, you know, where they come from. And this rivalry, the whole thing's got to go.
You know,
Stacks,
thanks for mentioning that. I honestly do believe that what Stacks just said makes a tremendous amount of sense. That is so sophomoric. It is so petty. And it really reeks of being a college town, which Jacksonville is not. This is a very small portion of the population, a very small percentage of the Jaguar fans. I mean, I don't care who you are. If your hatred of the rival takes over that much because of where they went to school, that's just the worst scenario. And you know what? It's been here at times. I'll never forget when I was here, when the franchise evolved. You know, when James Little Man Stewart was fumbling the football, the back end of that sentence was always, oh, he went to Tennessee. So I've seen it. And yeah, there have been some miserable draft selections out of the University of Florida. You know, look at a guy like Taven Bryan, who actually did a couple of nice things last week. Nearly blew up a play, you know, created a holding call. If you're a Knoll or a Dog or Kane or whatever it is that you are, and you dislike Florida that much that you don't want to see Taven Bryan do well here on this team, then you're a total loser. You really are. This is pro football. It's only 32 of these teams in the United States of America. If your organization wants to draft a kid from that particular school, you have to deal with it. So I think that maybe that's the younger generation. I don't think that, I don't hear that with people I associate with. And I'm not talking about people in the media. I'm talking about cronies of mine, beer drinking buddies, golf buddies. And believe me, I'm friends with a ton of Gators and a lot of Dogs. It's not just Knowles. I never get that when it comes to talking about the Jags. And that's really honestly kind of disappointing to hear if that still comes into play. Let's go to George. Welcome to the show, George.
Hey, Rick, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I just wanted to touch base with what you were saying earlier about going through the emotions of growing up. And, you know, I'm pissed. My daughter's pissed. You hear her in the back.
Crying out loud. Feed the baby, George. Take her through a drive-thru or something.
Hey, while we were talking about Ramsey, she got upset. I'm sorry.
Right. You should be upset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, my takes, you know, the guy's a punk, and, you know, and he showed his true colors, and it's terrible because he is a great player. You know, I'll tell you a quick little story. I'm a restaurant manager, and he was in my restaurant. I won't tell you where, but he was in my restaurant a few weeks ago, and he, you know, I stopped by his table, and he looked like a scared coward. He didn't want any attention. This is after the trade. You know, he requested the trade, and I said, hey, he said, Ramsey. He said, hey, and I said, hey, I just, it's all love, man. He said, oh, okay, and he wouldn't even lift his head up like he was scared. That guy would whoop my butt any day. He's in way better shape than me.
Yeah,
but that just told me, he's just embarrassed, you know, and that's I don't know. I lost all respect for the guy. You know, I don't wish any harm on anybody. But if he fails, I wouldn't be upset either. So that's it.
All right, George. Appreciate you getting in there. Yeah, I always enjoyed my meetings with Jalen, non-football related. Again, they were almost always about Florida State. They were almost always about, you know, me just asking him how his kids were, his first baby. It was a real, real quick conversation. I think maybe the last long conversation I had with Jalen was before the opener that was supposed to be here against Boise State, Florida State, Boise State. And I asked him if he was going to be on the sideline, and he said, no, I'm not going to be on the sideline. Instead of, you know, we got tickets, and we're doing things out here. And we're talking a little bit about the game, a little bit about the preseason. And then I'm also respectful enough to know that coaches don't love it when players are being asked by members of the media about what their alma mater is doing. Because, you know, their focus instead should be on what they have to do. I remember Bill O'Brien going nuts about that during Hard Knocks a couple of years ago. Get one more quick one in before the top of the hour and John Osher. Let's go to Bernard, who's next up. How you doing, Bernard?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, man. Thank you.
Look, man, I used to listen to you late at night. Love your show. Love your show. Love your attitude, especially. My question is this. Well, my comment is that I cannot deny the fact Jalen is an excellent ball player, one of the generational talent. And I feel kind of sad because of the fact of the character, the things, the way I think he put on in terms of the back injury and stuff like this. But this is my question to you. Now, considering this is the last year of his contract, can he be franchised by L.A.? And what do you think is going to happen in the contract negotiations when they come on? Then I'll take answers off the show and off the air, and I love your show, man.
Hi, right, Bernard. Thank you. You know, he's signed for next year at $13.7 million because the Jaguars exercised that fifth-year option that you're allowed to do on first-round draft picks. So he'll play this year. He signed for next year. We do not know if you can place a franchise tag on him after the fact because the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, also comes to an end after the 2021 season. So there's been a lot of discussion about a lot of things that are going to take place, including the elimination of the franchise tag. The tag cannot be placed on him until the 2022 season, but right now there isn't a season until they reach a new agreement. So, no, right now he'll play out this year in L.A., and then next year he'll play for $13.7 million, which will be his fifth year. There's if the same rules apply and everything is agreed upon that is the same under the current agreement, then yes, L.A. would be able to put a franchise tag on him for the year 2022. Now, just to spin it another way so everyone understands, Yannick Ngakoue is in his fourth year. The Jaguars are not allowed to pick up a fifth-year option on Yannick Ngakoue because he was not a first-round draft pick. The Jaguars could put the franchise tag on Ngakoue next year because he's the only unrestricted free agent currently on this defense after this season. They could put a franchise tag on him, which will probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of $19 to $20 million based on the salary cap increase. So there's a difference there between first-rounders and second-rounders. Real quick, I'll give you my take. It's brought to you by Villa right here in Jacksonville. I want to single out Doug Marrone in this situation. I think Doug Marrone has been able to really do a wonderful job with everything that he has been handed. If you go back to Telvin, if you go to Leonard Fournette showing up and then leaving again, if you look at the holdout of Yannick Ngakoue, and then you look at everything that obviously he's had to deal with from the press and others involved here with Jalen Ramsey, I thought today, for the first time, I've seen Doug clearly be upset about football matters. After games, turnovers, penalties. Charlotte was really the recipient of that a couple of weeks ago in Carolina. But I thought Marrone, and still do believe that Marrone does a real good job with the media. He's extremely transparent. He doesn't dodge a lot of questions. Today, the frustration was evident. The organization should have a mouthpiece that is not just Doug Marrone. Tom Coughlin issued a statement today. Okay. I've known Tom forever. I've known him since 1996. Really appreciate him. Love my work with the J Fund and helping out as our station does. I believe he should have made a comment through all this. Dave Caldwell, to me, was incredibly transparent during the Gus Bradley tenure. He senses not. I'll let you figure out why you think that is. I think we need to credit Doug Marrone today after the way that he has handled this. For the first time, he kind of looked and let it out a little bit that it'd be nice to have someone else out there answering these questions. He's doing more than just one job. That's to get his guys ready for the game each and every Sunday. So despite whatever your opinion might be, mine is this. Doug Marrone's done a real good job considering all the circumstances that he's had to deal with. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. So that's my take on this Wednesday.
10-10 take.
Is he a brunette or blonde? Did we ever find that out?
No, I kept thinking you was talking to her on the low.
No. On the, is it not the down low anymore? It's just the low?
On the low.
No. Not me. 524-1165 is the number to go to Villa.com. They are Jacksonville's first and only home ownership company, making home ownership simple by focusing on the customer and delivering an extraordinary home buying experience. John Osher next. We'll talk about a little bit of this with Jalen, but let's move ahead. Why not? Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. Rafael Esparza at 840 live from Las Vegas will track the money on the Jaguars, plus all the college games coming up this weekend as well. That's during hour number two with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, just after 8 o'clock, Rick Ballew and you till 9. Wednesday night, having a whole heck of a lot of fun. I'd like to say happy birthday to the GF, who's home alone, I think. Happy birthday. John Osher, we are in search of. We should have him on at any moment. The Cincinnati Bengals are an interesting situation. 0-6, first-year head coach. It's one of four first-year head coaches that the Jaguars will face this season. They're 1-0 so far against a first-timer, Vic Fangio, in Denver. They are awful defensively. You look at their numbers. I really pounded this in our first hour. They give up 185 yards a game on the ground. They allow 426 yards a game, which is 31st in the NFL. They are 31st in yards per play at 6.49. I mean, think about that. Every two plays, you're picking up nearly 13 yards. Wow. 26th in the NFL in points allowed, 26.5. Okay. Seven sacks they've only been able to create so far this year, which is 29th in pro football. Takeaways is okay. They have six on the season, which is only 24th in the NFL. What really stands out there is, again, just how poor the Jaguars are. They only have two, which is tied for 31st, and really they only have one because the other one happened this year coming to them via special teams. Offensively, it's not much better. Okay, yards per game, total offense, 26th in pro football, getting 307 yards a game. Points per game, 26th in the NFL, 16.2. Let's kind of put things into perspective. Last year, the Jaguars averaged 15.6 a game. They were 5-11, but you know they lost four games by a field goal. And they lost a fifth game by 4 points and six games by 6 points. That was by averaging 15.6 a game. This year's Bengals offense is averaging a half point more per, and they're 0-6. I'm just reflecting on really how good last year's Jaguars defense was. Not as good as 2017, obviously, but still last year good enough to win consistently if they could get anything out of their offense. And, you know, this year defensively, the Jaguars allowing 21.8 a game. So that's as high as it's been around here in 3 years. But let's not let it get lost during the six games that have been played that the Jaguars have allowed 13 points twice and lost those games. That's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, I don't care where you are or what you're doing. If I say to you right now, the Jaguars will only allow 13 points this weekend in Cincinnati, you're going to take that in a heartbeat. You're not even going to think twice. You can say, absolutely, I'll take that. The Jaguars have allowed 13 points twice this year and lost. Okay? Both games on the road. Oh, excuse me. It was home here against New Orleans. But on the road in Houston. Just blows me away. I mean, how does that happen? You lose 13-12 and you lose 13-6. You know, back to Cincinnati here. This football team averages 56 yards a game rushing. Dead last in pro football. 56 yards a game. Now, understandably, those numbers can be skewed just a little bit if you're trailing and you're forced to pass the football in the second half because you're down by a couple of scores. But again, that is not always the case with the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, they have been in some of these games. That is a staggering number and, frankly, a very disappointing one if you're a Cincinnati Bengal fan. Great for the Jags. I mean, the Jaguars allowed 285 a week ago, 2 weeks ago. As we know in Charlotte, they tightened up. They held, Kamara, they held him to 2.8 per. And I think overall they allowed just over 100 yards. You know, it was a nice job. They really buttoned it up defensively against the run. And I would expect that to continue this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, so those are some of the numbers that Cincinnati does have. One thing that is certainly hurting them is they've given the football away a tremendous amount. They're tied for 24th in the NFL with 11 turnovers so far on the season. The Jaguars have given it away 7 times. All right, the Bengals 11. So no matter which way you look at these numbers, this is a football organization that is really scuffling at this point. They did one thing that I want to mention that I thought was just tremendous, and I saw this, I don't know where it was the other day, but it was brilliant. There's a local radio station in Cincinnati, and I do not believe it's a sports radio station. I actually think it's a music station or something along those lines, but they put together a contest, and first place of the contest, you know, the winner, first place winner, got 2 tickets for this weekend's game against the Jaguars. Second place got 4. I thought it was outstanding. I love it. Hey, listen, man, I'm into entertainment. Why didn't I ever think of something like that?
But how does that work?
It was a joke. First place winner gets 2 tickets. Second place gets 4. I thought it was brilliant. You know, translation, the team is so awful that they're making it an actual chore for you to go to the game. I thought it was brilliant. Good stuff. All right, let me get you this out as well. because I know that you care about this, because I care about it. Injury report in on this Wednesday. Tell me if you've heard this before. Josh Oliver, limited with his hamstring. Marquise Lee and Cody Davis did not practice today with an ankle and a hamstring, respectively. Hit it for Marquise, followed him into the locker room, could put no weight on his right foot. Cody Davis was really getting stretched out. He actually played some dime coverage on Sunday. So, you know, they've had injuries back there. Yeah, you'd like him to be able to get back and play well. He's one of their better special team players as well. Off days today, just rest for both Brandon Linder and Calais Campbell, and Jeff Swaim remains in the concussion protocol, also listed with an ankle. He did not practice. All right, real quick for you. This is a long, long list in Cincinnati. All right, Cordy Glenn's been out with a concussion, practice in full today. Sean Williams with a thigh, limited. He's a safety. The very talented Geno Atkins out of Georgia, they rested him today. Ryan Glasgow, a defensive tackle, a thigh, limited. The following nine players did not practice today for the Cincinnati Bengals. A.J. Green, the ankle, been out all through it. William Jackson III, one of their starting corners, out this week with a shoulder. Dre Kirkpatrick, one of their starting corners, missed last week's game, will not play against the Jaguars, out with a knee. Carl Lawson, defensive end, hamstring, did not practice. Guard John Miller, a groin, did not practice. Andre Smith, offensive lineman, they're starting, I believe he's now a backup tackle. The one's high first round draft pick. I want to say he's a backup now to Cordy Glenn, but has received some playing time. Anyway, he didn't go with his ankle. Tyler Eifert, the tight end, they rested him. And Carlos Dunlap out of the University of Florida with a knee, did not practice. So, yeah, I've given you the numbers. This is one of the worst defenses in pro football, and they could be without four starters. We know for sure they're definitely going to be out their two starting corners. But they're really beaten up as well along that defensive line. And that includes starters like Carlos Dunlap. That includes Geno Atkins. So there you go. We'll see if there's any improvement from them health-wise tomorrow or Friday. I'll keep you updated on both nights. But that is the very latest as far as what is going on with the Cincinnati Bengals. Where's the ozone?
I kept calling and calling and calling, and he's not answering the phone.
Wow, I had a long conversation with Johnny today, too, before the Gardner Minshew interview. I don't know, maybe he fell asleep. You know what he did?
What do you think he did?
Probably got home, flipped on Into the Night with Rick Ballew on the Lazy Boy, was listening, and this show is so freaking boring, he probably fell asleep.
We are the most lit show,
Rick. I appreciate that, man. I really do. I appreciate that. Where are you, Johnny O? All right, we'll try to find out what's going on there. If not, we're able to maintain. We got some news and notes, which we'll get out to you on this Wednesday night. And we hope that our friend Rafael Esparza is with us. We'll head to the desert. We'll go to Las Vegas. Let's take a look at the money on some of these big games. Florida State catching points going to Wake Forest. I mean, that is enough for me to just puke all over this table. Florida State actually getting points going to Wake Forest. That is criminal. It is. Florida, South Carolina. Obviously, the Jaguars and their matchup coming up in Cincinnati. So that's later tonight as well. We'll go to Vegas. We'll hear from Rafael Esparza. He's with MyBookie.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we go till 9 o'clock tonight. Rafael Esparza live from Las Vegas, 20 minutes away. We will track the money, some of the big games coming up this weekend. RJ Saunders is the producer of Into the Night with Rick Ballew. He's also slowly becoming either the program director or overall sales manager. Just let me check with you real quick. Did Jalen, before he leave, did he buy any advertising time to say goodbye to Jaguar fans here on the official station of the Jaguars?
I don't think he did. And if he would have spoke to anybody, he would have spoke to the truth teller.
Oh, okay. I just, you know, usually, you know, we see that after a long storied career, a guy will take out an ad in the local newspaper, or put up a billboard, or buy some radio time. I was just wondering if maybe Jalen did it and I missed out on it.
Like an Instagram post saying, thank you, Jacksonville, for, you know, being hospitable to me, giving 3 great years and 3 games.
No.
He didn't do that.
Didn't do it. All right, let's bring in our friend John Osher. He's with us each and every Wednesday. He is the Jaguars senior writer at Jaguars.com. How about you, Johnny O? Did he reach out to Jaguars.com?
No, he did not. And I think I thought when he was talking about how much he loved his teammate that he mentioned how much he loved Duval. So I thought too, Rick. I kept looking. You know, they had those billboards now. You don't have to buy them in advance. They have video billboards. They can be up immediately. So this morning driving to work, I looked and I waited a few of them, just waiting for it to show up. It never did. So
yeah,
I guess just another way that I was fooled.
All right, one quick thought on this, because I really want to spend my time with you talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, because I think it's an incredibly important game for them coming up on Sunday. But, you know, I was always one, and we've talked about this prior, that I was hoping that you could have found a way to salvage this, or if not, make a deal in April when you saw the draft order. But he kept doing things, including even some petty things as of late, where I guess the writing was on the wall. They had to make the move they made.
Well, I guess. And I get that there's many layers and many things that go into every story. So I guess there's a faction of Jaguars fans who understandably think, well, Tom Coughlin or the front office is to capital letters blame for this. And, you know, I'm sure communication at some point could have been better, because that's usually the case with with the modern day player. It's tough to reach sometimes, but it's hard for me to imagine in this case. I keep using the phrase that the punishment fit the crime, meaning boy, if it was this incident, this discussion after the Houston game, you know, Rick, could it have been that out of line that it led to all this, and I just can't do it. I just don't buy that it was going to be that conversation or something that happened with Tom Coughlin or Dave Caldwell or whatever it was led to all this. I just wonder. The thing I keep going back to is I got some emails and comments from people, you know, what should the Rams do? How could it have been handled differently?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can think of is never make him mad. And never tell him anything he doesn't want to hear.
Yeah.
Because that clearly, you know, it just seemed an incredible overreaction to whatever might have happened. When, let's not forget what happened on the field that day in Houston. Somebody needed to reprimand him for it.
Yeah.
Somebody needed to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, if you think that was acceptable and shouldn't have been addressed, then I don't know where to start the conversation on what happened next.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it should have been. Yeah. Yes.
So I don't really, you know, I guess the thing is, I don't know what could have been done differently. I will be shocked, and I hope for his sake that it doesn't go out this way. I'd be shocked if he's with one team for more than 3 years in his career.
Yeah.
If he behaves that way and can't be. Football is not basketball. It's not tennis. It's not golf. You have to work within the concept of a team or it doesn't work. I get that there's a new age player, but it's still 53 guys that it can't just be about what you want first. And unless I hear something that makes me think that wasn't what it was, that was the fundamental problem, was it had to be about him first. And I don't think you can function that way in the NFL. Just look at Ngakoue and Leonard Fournette. Yeah, these are two guys who, you know, for whatever reason, had reason to be unhappy with the organization, had been reprimanded, whatever. Unique wasn't reprimanded, but, you know, I mean, there had been stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both, you know, they're both behaving very professionally.
Yeah.
It's what you do once the regular season starts. You go to work, you go to fight with your guys.
And this is a fair media. I mean, and I don't know the Los Angeles media. I know of it, but, I mean, he blocked everyone out here and got angry and was surly. And It's not a hard-hitting media. I mean, can you imagine if he ended up getting traded to Philadelphia, like some of those reports are, and he tries some of that nonsense there? He may be able to get away with it for some time being in Los Angeles because they're so star-struck there. But if he moves on to Philly or another place, I mean, it's not going to work for him in a city like that.
Yeah, again, you hate to sit here and be just slam on the way out the door. But I've been doing this 25 years. I don't remember quite anything like this where, you know, if I thought it was something that the Jags did wrong, they bent over backwards trying to make it work with this guy. Now, people can believe that or not. And, you know, Tom obviously is Tom. There's going to be rough edges. But I just don't believe that he did anything or anybody in the organization did anything to push Jalen Ramsey out the door. Were there personality conflicts? Sure. There's personality conflicts, and there's stuff that goes on every NFL team. There's three or four stars that are high maintenance, et cetera, et cetera. But that ain't this. This is extreme. And I'm not going to sit here and say good riddance because he's a good player. I wish they'd have made it work. More so, I wish they would have just said, hey, you're staying here and you're playing for this team because we drafted you, and that's the way it works. They didn't, and they got good value for it. So that's fine. But I'm petty that way. I would have said, hey, you know what? You're playing here or nowhere, bud.
John Oshar, our guest, senior writer from Jaguars.com, joining Rick Bellew on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Let's turn our attention to Cincinnati. They've been rolled in a couple of games, but they lost in Seattle by a point. They lost at Buffalo by 4 points. They lost at Baltimore by 6 points, and they lost at home to Arizona by a field goal. So they've been in four of these six games. They lost by one possession. They're 0-6. They're desperate, and they are an absolute mash unit, particularly on the defensive side. But, I mean, it's the same thing. A break here, a break there, a mistake here, a lack of mistake there. This Cincinnati team could very easily be a 4-2 or 3-3 club.
Well, again, it's a cliche, but in the NFL, when you're on the road against anybody, if you think they're not a good team, you better get ahead of them, get away from them. You know, you don't want to be 17-13 in the fourth quarter where all of a sudden this team is down and out, starts telling themselves on the sidelines, hey, this is the week, fellas, we can do this, because they're all pros. You know, if you get in that situation, every team's dangerous. You ought to be able to run on them. You know, they've been horrific against the run, as bad as any team in Bengals history against the run. So you ought to be able to do that. Now, the upside of that is the Bengals know right now everybody's going to try to run on them. They're going to stop the run. But they don't seem to be a defense that's deep enough that can stop the run, and if you come off that and pass effectively. So the Jaguars need to score. I agree with what you said at the top of this segment, Rick. It's a crucially important game. I thought when Foles went down, if they could get to 5-4, they'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But within that 5-4 framework, when you mapped out the schedule, they needed wins over Cincinnati, the Jets, and I thought they'd need to win these next three. I anticipated 2-4, and I thought they'd be mentally strong enough to get the next three, because they ought to get the next two. You know, it's one win between them. And then you're going to London against Houston. At some point, if you're going to win a division, you got to start winning against good teams. That's the spot to do it.
Yes.
These next three are all critical. But Cincinnati, you know, if you don't beat this team, you're 2-5, and you're thinking about different things other than the playoffs.
Let's get into Gardner Minshew today, because I thought it was a totally different Gardner Minshew, and obviously he did not perform well this past Sunday. It wasn't all on him, but he looked like a rookie. You know, the whole Minshew mania, the laughing, and, you know, the questions that are being asked by the local media about his personality, for the most part, that was gone. He looked completely business-like to me today, a total professional. Didn't have fun with Gary Smiths about a different – I mean, he looked like a quarterback who was lost two in a row.
Yeah, and, you know, he gets it. He's been the guy. He was the guy at Washington State last year. So that's not the NFL, but my point is he understands how a quarterback has to be and the demeanor and the leadership. You know, I don't think – even when he was joking with the Gary Smith thing, and I don't think that was his demeanor all of the weeks before. I think he basically had fun with Minshew Mania for 7 minutes when he was talking to us.
Right.
And then everything I've heard is that he's incredibly professional for a rookie. But I also think he realizes, hey, first off, he didn't get those same kind of questions today as much. There wasn't as much Minshew Mania questions. There wasn't as much opportunity to have fun. But he also gets, hey, at two in a row, when we've lost two in a row, it's not the time to come in here and, you know, put on a giddy face. I think sometimes people had a problem with Blake sometimes with that, is even when he was losing, he would sort of be Mr. Casual. That was just his demeanor. But sometimes that demeanor,
yes,
I would get emails from people, doesn't he care?
I agree.
Well, you know, I know he cared, but fans only see you for those 7 minutes, you know, or the 10 minutes you do in media. So I do think Gardner has an awareness of that. It all goes back to this kid has started a lot of football games with a lot of attention on him. I think he knows how to handle it. He's not going to be perfect every time, but on that front, he's always struck me as a 29-year-old guy in a 23-year-old kid's body. He's mature for this.
All right. They should be able to have plenty of success this weekend moving the football. As you pointed out, I mean, Cincinnati's the worst in the NFL against the run. They're not much better against the pass. Plus, they're really beaten up. They're down their two starting corners now to an injury. But the elephant in the room remains, why does this football team struggle so much in the first half? They've been trailing in 5 of 6 games.
Well, you would think a lot of it is, you know, as much as there was Minshew Mania, you're still dealing with a rookie quarterback. You've still been playing quarterbacks who are either inexperienced or not in this offense. You know, there's got to be a learning curve when new offensive coordinator coming in, everything's new. So I think there's some of that. The offensive line has been okay at times, but it has not been great. So I think they've had trouble coming out and establishing offensively because you haven't been able to get into a rhythm. I think one of the most important things I heard this week was when Doug was talking early in the week about, hey, I like some things I've seen in the running game. I think we're close. Doug usually doesn't blow smoke on stuff like that. With Leonard healthy, with the offensive line still healthy, if this offensive line can get going, start putting pieces together and have chemistry, my guess is you'll see some leads, you'll see them up early. And you're right, this is a team that I haven't gone back and done the math, and I keep meaning to, but they haven't led very much, even for a 2-14.
No.
You know, at any point in the game, they've been playing uphill.
Yes.
And, you know, the next topic, I'm sure, will be what's the pass rush. Well, I've always thought that's a huge part of their pass rush. This team hasn't led at all. The one game in which they did lead early, they had 9 sacks. There's your pass rush.
Yeah, it seems like you fix one part of it and then something else opens up. I don't know. Doug Marrone continues to talk about putting together all 3 phases, and is this the week that that happens? Hey, leave us with this. The 29th is, 13 days away. Let's say they win this weekend. Could they, all of a sudden, they got a lot of picks. Could they possibly go out and try to find an offensive guard, or, you know, maybe try to find an extra defensive back or a linebacker somewhere? Do you think they're done, or could they try to add a player here before the deadline?
You know, they historically, with this bunch, have gone the other way. You know, they've been a, we like to have pick team. So, you know, Leopards don't usually change their spot, so you would think they would stick to that. And as soon as I say that, Tom Coughlin's win now guy. So if they think they're close, if they think they need something, you could see it. I hate to predict it, only because it felt like so much happened yesterday.
Yeah.
That it felt like that might be the flurry. And I don't know if you're going to see high-profile stuff at this point. There's just part of you that thinks, you know what, they gave up Jalen Ramsey. They're going to want to replenish that by stocking the franchise long-term with youth rather than a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
It would be surprising. I just know GMs love the idea of going into draft with a bunch of picks and some ones by them. So I don't think they will want to trade any of the ones for that. could you trade 3 and 4s because you've got some ones? Maybe. I'd be shocked if they trade the first round picks they just got.
Yeah. No, that absolutely would shock me. No doubt. I don't see that happen with a first rounder. I just didn't know if they thought they could
plug
in a hole.
But to your point, since they have them,
yes,
high,
right,
to give up ones later in the draft might be a little more palatable. Makes a little more sense.
All right, Johnny, appreciate it as always. Catch up with you soon.
Rick, thanks, buddy.
There he goes. John Osher. He is with the Jaguars.com. He is their senior writer, and he is our guest each and every Wednesday night. I did not have time tonight for news and notes, but I do want to thank the good folks over at truckcrashlaw.com. They are the only law firm in the state of Florida where all they do is this. If someone has been injured out on the road by a truck, a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus, anything like that at all, okay, make sure you get to them, truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only law firm in the state where this is all that they do. Joe Camerlengo and his law firm do an incredible job with all of this, and they're based right here in Jacksonville. Make sure you're aware of truckcrashlaw.com. Coming up next, we go to Las Vegas. Let's talk to Rafael Esparza. He joins us from mybookie.com as we continue into the night with Rick Ballew.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, straight to Las Vegas. Let's head that way right now. We're joined by Rafael Esparza. He is with mybookie.com, and he joins Rick Ballew. How you doing, Rafael?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Me? Never better. You kidding me? Never, never, never better. The Jags minus Jalen Ramsey on their way to Cincinnati. How do you look at a team like this, first of all, Rafael, that 0-6, but, you know, has really been in 4 of the 6 games, has lost by a possession or less. And they're a desperate team. Do you continue to expect them to fall apart, or despite the injuries, sooner or later, is a team like this going to find a way to win a game?
I think you look at it both ways, but for me, I'm looking at it, and what's the mental game of Jacksonville? Are they happy that distraction is finally gone, and now they can just sit around and start playing football and not worry about is someone going to be traded? Is someone going to stay? Is my back hurt? Do I have another kid coming? I'm looking at it more of a Jacksonville point of view on this game more than Cincinnati, because we all knew Cincinnati was in rebuild mode. We all knew Cincinnati had a brand-new head coach, a brand-new system. Yeah, they competed last week against Baltimore, only losing by 6, only losing to Arizona by 3. But look at their schedule. They played Baltimore, Arizona, Pittsburgh. They got trounced by San Francisco. They lost by Buffalo by 4. So they have not really played that tough of a schedule besides maybe San Francisco putting the beat down on them. I'm looking for Jacksonville for finally getting maybe some momentum and getting that headache out of that locker room.
What about repeat offenders? And what I mean by that is people who bet on a team to win 1 week and then they're so discouraged they show up the next week and pick against them. And I understand that the professional players are very intelligent and they do their homework. But, boy, last week it seemed like about everyone thought the Jags were going to win that game, and they did not get it done against New Orleans. Do you expect very little money coming in this week on Jacksonville, or do you expect it to pick up later in the week?
Well, let's look at the matchup, Jacksonville at Cincinnati. It's not the biggest matchup on the board. It's probably going to be one of the least bet games.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell people 99% of the time, don't bet the team, bet the number.
Right.
If you think this game should be 3 or 4 or something like, wait to see if you get that number. Don't bet the team just because, ooh, Jacksonville is finally out of headache or Cincinnati's been in some tough games. It could be a bad number in general, period. I always tell people, just look at sports betting like the stock market. You bet the number, not that team in front of that number.
Yeah, I always found myself back in the day playing totals in the NFL. I just thought that was the most success that I had. And 47.5 to me is kind of a scary number. I look at that right now, and I really don't have a feel either way, especially with all the injuries Cincinnati has defensively. 3 to 3.5 is a significant difference. So I guess, you know, early on this week, some money on the Bengals. I saw it open at 3.5, but for the most part right now, it sits comfortably at 3.
Yeah, and I think the money will come in a little bit on Jacksonville, not so just because Cincinnati's at home. I think it'll stay between 3 and 3.5. There's no way it's going to come off a 3, and there's no way we see a 4. So I think just look for the better number. If you like Jacksonville, try to get that 3. If you like Cincinnati, try to get that 3.5.
All right, there you have it. Rafael Esparza joining us from MyBookie. And we'll have him tell us all about that in just a couple of minutes. Let's get to Saturday. The alma mater just was toasted on the road at Clemson. You and I broke that down a week ago. We both thought Clemson would be able to carry those points, and certainly they did. You know, I watched the Wake Forest game. Most of my attention was on LSU Florida, but I watched that Wake Forest Louisville game. It was about 500 people in the stadium when it was all said and done. Incredible numbers here. This one I still have trouble with, Rafael. I know Florida State is down, but how can they be an underdog going into a place like Wake Forest?
Yeah, I was a little torn on that one, but as soon as we posted that number, we got the Florida State money. I don't know if they think maybe it's the Florida State in the late 90s were playing this game. I'm a little bit shocked as well. I think we're going to see a lot of points scored in this one because both defenses, I've got to be toasted, a little gas, and I would not be shocked if we've seen another bar burner of a lot of points scored on this one. But I could agree with you. I'm a little bit shocked that Wake Forest stays around 2.5. But the total, you could tell the odds makers know there's going to be a lot of points scored. Opened up at 68, quickly some 69s popped around. I think the scoreboard operator might be the only one that's going to be working hard this game.
Yeah, I mean, Louisville put up, what was it, 62 against them, 65?
Yeah.
And, you know, Florida State allowed 42. But, you know, for those who watched the game, Dabo Swinney took Trevor Lawrence out in the third quarter and really called off the Dogs offensively. So, I mean, Clemson could have gone into the 50s. Who knows, maybe even 60. So, yeah, that number of 70 right there, or 68, 69, 70, depending where you get it, it looks like a large number, but that old adage, looks high, play it high. I think a lot of people would agree with that. All right, Florida, any hangover here after, I thought, really playing, you know, about as well as they could, considering the circumstances? If you didn't watch the game, it was closer than the 14 points would indicate. It was a cover for LSU. We all remember what happened a year ago. South Carolina had a huge lead, and this was probably Felipe Franks' best game as a Gator. Of course, he's out now. It's Kyle Trask. But what about Florida here, laying 5 going to Carolina?
Yeah, this was weird because it's South Carolina. Did they win their BCS championship game last week going to Athens and beating Georgia? Or does LSU still thinking about that loss in the Bayou, beaten by the Bengals 42-28. It's going to be very interesting. I lean towards Florida because I still think they're in a hunt for a really nice bowl game. And you never know what could happen. LSU could lose to Alabama. Ohio State could lose to Michigan. Alabama can have a hiccup. Clemson continues to struggle, maybe blowing teams out. They can drop. Oklahoma could lose. So if you're Florida, you still have that schedule in front of you. You still need to win games. I like Florida in the bounce backs. I think South Carolina, I don't see them winning 3 straight coming into this matchup. And like I said, they won a championship game last week and beat Georgia at Athens.
Yeah, it's a good point. I always look for one key point in every game. And, you know, it's like last week, Clemson had 14 days to stew about the North Carolina situation and dropping the polls. And we talked about that last week. That's the way I do look at South Carolina right now. I mean, the ultimate high in a double overtime knocking off Georgia on the road. Can you expect them to get another huge victory this week against Florida? I tend to agree with you. I think the Gators bounce back. Hey, wrap up with this. I mean, I know the rivalry is completely drifted and it's one-sided. But again, I never thought there would be an era where we would see that Alabama was a 35-point favorite over Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I mean, just their offense is just rolling now. Like I said, I think Alabama's defense is probably one of the weakest defenses we've seen in Alabama in recent years. But that offense, those wide receivers are just lights out, and I think they're going to put up a big number. And that's why I know everyone's getting LSU all this love and stuff like that, but let's face it, that game between Alabama is going to be LSU this whole season. If they get blown out or lose badly in this game, then every win that they had, Florida, Texas, and all that, doesn't really matter. And if you're LSU, you really need Florida to continue to win. You need Texas to continue to win, because those wins are going to mean something, because those other games you played, Northwestern State, Georgia Southern, are nothing. But Alabama, I think they're going to continue the role. It's going to be an ugly game again on Saturday. And Tua, I mean, that's what I said. Tua is my Heisman lock right now. And I know some people are saying, well, what about all the other ones? The only one I think that's close is maybe the running back from Wisconsin. But Tua right now is my Heisman.
Well, I'm a Heisman voter, and a year ago at this point, I certainly thought Tua had it, and then out of nowhere, we saw what happened with Murray, so there's a lot of football left. Keep an eye on that, as Brent Musburger would say, keep an eye on that quarterback out of LSU.
You know, I will keep an eye on him, but I'm sorry. Those games that he's played against Utah State, Georgia Southern, I dismissed those games. He had a good game against Florida, had a good game against Texas, but all those other ones are cupcake games that they shouldn't even be playing.
But
look at Boise State's schedule, then look at LSU's schedule.
Okay, I got you. But if he wins at night in Tuscaloosa,
then it's a different story. He wins. He's got my vote.
No doubt. All right, Rafael, tell us about MyBookie.com.
MyBookie.com have some great stuff. We have football every day so far, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Don't forget the baseball playoffs, hockey, drop the puck. NBA starts next week. Full range UFC on Friday. Great Sunday action in the NFL. Jump over to mybookie.ag. Get that 100% sign-up bonus. That means you put $200 down. We're going to throw an additional $200 into your account. Join today.
Rafael Esparza. He's with mybookie.com. Always a lot of fun, Rafael. Best of luck on all the plays this weekend. We'll talk soon.
Take it easy. Have a great weekend.
Here he goes. Rafael Esparza joining us from mybookie.com.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Did someone say game day? Here at Moe's, we've got your back so you don't have to miss a single play. Order your tailgate catering online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, Denny Thompson is here. Let's get ready for the Sports Den.
Oh, man, I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm not sure what we're talking about yet, but I'm ready.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure heavy dose of Jalen, right?
Heavy dose of Jalen.
How long do we have to make this Jalen radio?
You know what? We only did Jalen tonight for probably maybe 30 minutes of the 2 hours.
Good.
Did a lot on Cincinnati tonight.
Good. I'm close to going LeVar Ball on Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't talk about him anymore.
How about the Bengals, man? They're a beaten up bunch.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Is Jacksonville good enough to call anything an easy win?
No.
They're not, are they?
Well, and I'm not slighting them, but no 2-4 team is able to call anyone an easy win. Look at what the Jets just did to the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's anyone in Dallas who thought they were going to go into New York and get pounded the way that they did? On paper, this looks like it should be an easy win this week and next week. But they're not. You got to go out there and you got to play these guys. Cincinnati gives up 185 yards a game on the ground.
How worried are you that we really don't have a backup running back here in Jacksonville?
I think Armstead can play.
Why aren't we seeing him, though?
Because they're really getting burned out of Fournette, and he's playing well. And they just can't do anything in the first half. I would like to see, in my opinion, Armstead is one of those guys who's going to be better on his seventh and his eighth and his ninth carry than he is on his first, second, and third. I don't think he's a one-hit wonder. He only got one carry last week.
Don't they have to start getting him those carries, though?
Yeah. I mean,
they have to figure it out. You can't – we all know Fournette's history, injury history. And, I mean, granted, I love the way Fournette's played, but, gosh, man, I'm uncomfortable as a fan. How uncomfortable are they in the coaches' rooms each week going, God, we didn't get Armstead any carries again?
Well, listen, Alfred Blue – is allowed to practice this week, and he's allowed to come off the IR the week of the game in London. So he's allowed to practice this week and next week. He's eligible to come back and play against Houston for that particular game. And, you know, I thought he showed some things okay in camp. I like Thomas Rawls, honestly, a little bit better. I was surprised they cut him. Mm-hmm. I like what Thomas Rawls gave him.
I would feel better with Blue. I would feel better with Blue just because of the experience factor. When you start looking at, I mean, right now the way it stands is you got Fournette and then you've got nobody with any experience.
No, none.
That's just scary.
None.
With a rookie quarterback, you know, with an offensive line that's got a propensity to every now and then let somebody just go free. That's a little scary to me. That's the one thing I'd like to see them do the next couple games is try to get – it don't have to be 20, right? It can be 7, 8, 10 touches or something to somebody other than Leonard Fournette out of the backfield.
You know what I'd like to see in Cincinnati on Sunday? How about score first?
Yeah.
How does this sound? Jaguars 7-0. That's all I'm asking for. I mean, outside of the Tennessee game, they've been trailing in 5 out of these 6 games. They have gone into the second half in 4 out of these 6 games, trailing by double digits.
Yeah.
What about getting out early, 7-0, 10-3, taking an early lead? I mean, God forbid, give this fan base just one Sunday where it's slightly relaxed.
Yeah, well, think about 2017. That's what they did, right? 2017, they got a lead early, and then the defense played.
Right.
We're not giving really this defense a chance to even be, and I don't think they are the 2017 version, but that year had the advantage of they were playing with two possession leads. They could pin their ears back. If you got Josh Allen, Calais Campbell, and Ngakoue able to pin their ears back, I think the defense would probably be okay.
You know, they don't have a tip ball all year.
Is that right?
A deflected ball all
really?
Year.
Really? Wow.
One takeaway. The other was on special teams. Leon Jacobs on the muff punt. They have one takeaway. It's a pick by Harrison in 6 games. 0 tip balls.
Are you serious?
I mean, it's...
How have we not been talking more about that? I didn't know that.
It's crazy. Well, I'm glad you listened to my show, Denny. All right, they're coming up right now. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, and JJ. It is the Sports Den for our producer, who is RJ Saunders. My name is Rick Ballew. Back with you tomorrow night from 7 to 9 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.